Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cammie Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. As practicing Catholics, we get the chance to experience Jesus in the Eucharist each Sunday or even daily in Mass. The stories of the saints are filled with examples of Eucharistic devotion. And to be sure, the real presence is the defining component of our Catholic faith and consequently of our lives. While adoration is always a good thing, a traditional Eucharistic devotion, the 40 hours devotion, typically happens during Lent, representing the 40 days of this penitential season. Father Spencer Howe and Sam Backman of Holy Cross Parish join us today to share about the history of this remarkable devotion and a 40 hours opportunity this Lent. Father Howe, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Good to be here.
Always good to have you with us. Thank you. And Sam, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Patrick. A pleasure to be here as well.
Wonderful. Well, I'm excited to speak to both of you about this. Why don't we kick off, Father? We'll start with you. What is the 40 hours devotional, and why is it particularly focused, or what is it particularly focused on during the Lenten season?
Well, you mentioned the 40 days of Lent, and certainly the number 40 is symbolic in this holy season, but it actually recalls the 40 hours, approximately, that Christ was in the tomb from the afternoon of Good Friday until the morning of Easter Sunday and the resurrection. And so it's an invitation into the Lord's Eucharistic presence. We don't come to the dead body of Christ, but we come to his living body. And it is traditionally a Lenten devotion, although it can take place throughout the church's year. It doesn't have to happen in Lent.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. It can happen at any time, but there is a significance or a particular fittingness to it happening during this holy season. Sam, let me ask you, have you encountered 40 hours devotionals? Have you done these sorts of things before?
I have indeed. A few times in a former instantiation as a seminarian and as well at previous workplaces, Catholic workplaces, obviously. But yes, I've partaken in many of them, but I'm delighted to say that Holy Cross is perhaps the most extravagant and festive of such a celebration that I've ever been a part of, personally or professionally.
Very good. So, Father, this has been going on in Holy Cross for a while now, huh?
We don't have records of how early it began, but my suggestion is that it might be close to 80 years that it's been happening in the Lenten season. And we don't have the earliest records, but it's certainly a venerable tradition. And it used to historically be a time when priests would gather for fellowship and a time to be together. We always look forward to welcoming many clerics, both priests and deacons, also religious, consecrated life, and many of our faithful. So we always look forward to having a full church. And there's space for guests as well. So we'll look forward to having people come if they're interested to see what it is. But it's a great tradition that goes back many, many years at Holy Cross.
Yeah, very good. So what take us into it. Father, let's start with you. Take us into it. What's involved in the whole of the 40 hours? How does it make it special specifically for this practice during Lent?
Well, obviously, the intention is not that everyone would spend all 40 hours in church. I suppose one could bring a toothbrush and stay throughout those hours, but the real vision is that collectively, as a parish and as the faithful and priests and religious together, we would be faithful to the Lord's call to spend that time with him to keep watch. So generally, it's quiet adoration, which would be punctuated also by the various masses of that weekend, as well as some other devotions, including the rosary, including the breviary. We're going to have a special lauds, a sung morning prayer for St. Joseph's feast day, which falls on the Saturday of our 40 hours this year. So really, everything flows from the Mass and everything returns to the Mass. It begins Friday early morning with their 6:45 morning Mass on the 18th of March, and it will go through the weekend all the way through Friday night into Saturday morning. And then we have our special feast day Mass of St. Joseph, 9 a.m. on the 19th. And then we have our normal evening confessions and Mass on that Saturday. We'll conclude adoration at 10 o'clock in the evening, but then again, Sunday morning after the Masses will continue. So they're not consecutively 40 hours, but together we have the 40 hours of Eucharistic adoration, concluding with a very solemn benediction, which is a preached liturgy of the word and a very festive occasion to really gather. It's a very musical and kind of exuberant time. We're in the Lenten season, but we do kind of cheat a little bit, you might say, both with the decoration of the altar, as well as with the use of the organ and the care of the music. But it's going to be a very beautiful closing liturgy, and we're very blessed that Bishop Joseph Williams will be our presider and present for his first visit to Holy Cross as auxiliary bishop.
Very nice. Wow. It's sounding pretty tantalizing already. Sam, let me ask you, as director of sacred music, what kind of things are filling your plate in and around this 40 hours? How are you planning, and what will people encounter there in terms of music, in terms of liturgy, in terms of some of the things that Father Ha was just talking about?
Certainly. I think one of the reasons that we could be asked, why do we do the 40 hours as Catholics, we boil it down to a very basic principle of our faith, which is that we're people of the Incarnation. We believe that Christ became flesh for our sake and wishes to manifest himself to all of our senses. And part of this devotion is that we want to make a physical reality, kind of physical manifestation of our praise as well. So certainly the music is intended to reflect that. While it's not a musical service per se, music certainly features prominently in it. There's psalmody, several hymns, and also a number of Eucharistic motets, that is, choral compositions that honor the Blessed Eucharist. And in this case, kind of a centerpiece could be the Vexilla Regis of 19th century composer Anton Bruckner. Vexilla Regis kind of encapsulates rather well what Father Howe said regarding kind of the irony that, yes, it's Lent, but we're still somewhat festive. The Vexilla Regis is a victory march, but it's not a victory march of a victorious warrior or a wealthy individual or someone whose outwardly appearance is glamorous. It's the victory march of the cross. So it's both somber and victorious in that sense, and I think it frames quite well the kind of spirit of 40 hours, and that, yes, it's happening during the season of Lent. Yes, it's happening during a season of that kind of recalls such things as Jesus's foray into the desert or the Babylonian exile, but it's nevertheless full of hope. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would hope that the music heard at this celebration will communicate.
Well, Sam, maybe the only one who's noticing it, but I think you tied that in very well with my little opening fervorino that I offered at the beginning of the show. So I'm going to mark that up as a sign of the Holy Spirit leading our conversation. Yeah, the Holy Spirit gets blamed for all sorts of things, though. That's just how it is. Yeah. Let me go back to you, Father, as we're talking about this. So, Eucharistic adoration is almost, outside of Holy Mass, it's almost a central component, a central piece for many, many Catholics' devotional lives. I mean, they have a holy hour set apart weekly, if not more often than that. But what if somebody isn't in the habit or the custom of Eucharistic adoration or of holding a holy hour? That can seem a little intimidating. So any words of advice that you might have, Father, about for someone who's in that position?
Well, you can certainly dip your toes in and not stay for a full hour. Our school, St. John Paul II School, will visit during the day on that Friday, and they'll come for shorter visits that maybe fit their attention span a little better. But I think an hour is something sacred, and an hour is really just a meaning, a period of time, not necessarily exactly 60 minutes. But Jesus himself said, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? And so this is an invitation that Christ himself gives. It's worth trying. You can bring some spiritual reading. You could bring other devotionals. But the most important thing is to be present to the Lord as he's present to us. So I kind of speak about adoration as like the pause button being pushed during the Mass, when the elevation of the host happens, and we have an opportunity to worship and truly to be present before the Eucharistic Lord who's present before us. And so we'll actually set the monstrance high above the altar on something that's called the Tabor, which is a stand that recalls Mount Tabor, where Christ was transfigured. And adoration has that beautiful invitation to really see who Jesus is. And we really need some silence to see who he is and to hear what he desires to say. So there's no wrong way to be in adoration. I suppose the only wrong way would be to be noisy and distracted, but the Lord understands that as well. And he just wants us to come and spend time with him.
Well, let me say that I have, I appreciate that, Father Ben. Let me just say that I have it on good authority that at least one of the three of us who are now in this conversation has maybe even nodded off in the Adoration Chapel once or twice.
The apostles themselves were sleeping in the agony in the garden.
Well, that doesn't really make me feel better, Father, but I'll take it as a compliment anyway. Thank you for that. Sam, let me ask you the same sort of question that if you were to have somebody come up to you and say, yeah, what is this thing all about? And do I have to stay for a whole hour? And why is it important to do adoration? What's a succinct answer that you might offer?
Sure. I mean, certainly we make sure that there's a committed person or two to be there for every hour. But that said, if you're a curious visitor, there's no maximum or minimum time for which you need to visit, and kind of nothing that you need to accomplish during that hour. That, I think, is an important thing to remember. I remember once visiting Adoration myself for one of the first times in my adult life, and thinking, well, I'm sitting here and nothing's happening. I'm not having an aha moment. It just seems like nothing's happening. And I guess the advice I might give somebody who's curiously exploring that, or if I were to be able to give myself that advice out of time, I would have said simply, yeah, be at peace with that. The Lord works, St. Paul says, in inexpressible yearnings. That is to say, sometimes above our consciousness or completely out of the radar of our consciousness. So it's not to think, it's not to say that it's not fruitful to pray, even if you're not feeling it, even if you're not thinking anything. The fruits of it in your life and the way it honors God, we can't really know that completely. So don't feel awkward or bashful if it's maybe just seemingly placid. Because another reality that we have to face is that unlike the 16th century in Rome when this started, I suppose it was a very busy place in its own right. Rome has not been a sleepy place by any means for millennia, but we're probably the noisiest society we've ever been. And I don't mean that just in terms of decibel levels. I mean that in terms of our calendars, kind of our constant simulation. We're used to looking at devices frequently. We're used to communicating a lot more with other people via text, that is to say, immediate communication. So sometimes we have this expectation for an immediate result that sometimes simply doesn't happen in prayer. Prayer reminds us that it's important to be silent, it's important to slow down, and I think it's a lot harder for us now than maybe it had been, just because we're accustomed to certain of these fast realities of modern life.
Yeah, a great reminder, Sam. Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Gentlemen, we are nearly out of time, but Father Howe, can you take us through the schedule for your 40 hours just one more time quickly, please?
Happy to do it, and I just wanted, as I do it, I want to emphasize that it is our moment of unity as a parish across the various parts of our community. We have three churches at Holy Cross, and we also have a wonderful Polish community, and this is really an expression of our unity in the Eucharist. So it begins from the Mass on Friday the 18th at 6:45. And adoration continues all day, all through the day. It's only punctuated by the evening Polish Mass. We also have our regular Stations of the Cross that evening. And then all through the night until Saturday morning, we'll have the sung morning prayer and sung Mass for the Feast of St. Joseph at 8:30 and 9 a.m. respectively. And then adoration will continue until the afternoon vigil Masses for Sunday. And then finally, we expose the Blessed Sacrament again after Mass until 10 o'clock in the evening on Saturday. And then Sunday, there's adoration from 12:30 in the afternoon, which follows our Polish Mass until 4 o'clock when we'll have the solemn benediction. And in addition to Bishop Joseph Williams coming to preside, we're also very glad that we have Father Stanley Sleds, who is both the son of the parish. He grew up at Holy Cross, but he also served an assignment at Holy Cross as vicar. And he's going to be our guest homilist. So we're very excited to welcome Father Sleds and Bishop Williams and a number of other priests and religious and deacons from across our archdiocese.
Wonderful. Well, Father Howe and Sam Backman, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you both, and may this go well.
Many thanks, Patrick. We'll pray for you
before
our Lord.
Thank you much, Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you both. More information at ourholycross.org. Well, whatever way the Lord is having you grow this Lent, chances are there are events going on in our local church that will help you along the way. Cammie, Paul, and I will be right back to highlight a few of them. And St. Patrick's Day is back at the cathedral. Stay with us.